We mentioned some songs, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine, is Salvation by Faith, and we're expected to walk by faith and live by faith, but at the same time, there are times when I think God allows us to have a real experience with the living God, and we know God is real because of what He does for us. I mentioned that, and that's the mulberry tree kind of miracle. And then I closed out with what God does in us. And that's tonight's message, what God does in us. At times we reveal that He is real and that we truly have a living God with which to deal. In introduction, I also mentioned this morning that those who are saved have three desires: to be more like Jesus, two, to know more about Jesus, and three, to see Jesus. And this is the one about, I want to see Him, as so to speak, I want to see His presence. I want to know He's real. I want to know there is a God here in this church tonight. I say there is one here, and you say that by faith. Show me God. And so I want to do the very next thing that I can to that. I want you to know the presence of God, experience the presence of God. I believe you can know that going beyond faith, and God might give you in your own life your own mulberry tree. Now, this morning I mentioned that God does things for us, and some of us may never have a mulberry tree experience. That is, a supernatural miracle or wonder work by God on our behalf. You may never get in the fire furnace. You may never get in the lion's den. You may never have a miracle of the caliber that you sometimes read in the Old Testament and even in the New Testament. And then again, you might. God may one day prove He is real to you by giving you a miracle that you then realize it had to be God. It could not have been any other way. And I hope all of us have such an experience as that. But then at the same time, though most of us will probably not have a mulberry tree experience, how about God making Himself known by what He does in us? And that's where I want to begin tonight. Because the Bible definitely says God is in us. And so, if He is there, then will He reveal Himself, or must I just believe He's there because the Bible says He's there? Must I walk by faith and live by faith and say, yes, this body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, without ever knowing for sure that there is a Holy Spirit living in my body? Most Christians may go through life realizing, well, all I'm going to ever have is the Scripture, and I must trust and believe in that, and I'll never have any experience to confirm the Word. I'll just have to go through life by faith. And then I closed out this morning by saying, to have the Lord reveal Himself in a real sense to you, going beyond faith, so you know it's God, you're going to have to seek Him. It is not something He just does periodically for every Christian in which He dwells, but it's something He does for those who want it to happen. Do you want to have an encounter with God? Do you want to have an experience where God proves He is real? Do you want to have a face-to-face encounter with the Lord? A lot of people say, no, I don't think I want that. Well, you probably never will have it then, and you'll have to go by faith, probably all your life. But I'm saying a Christian ought to have a desire to go beyond that and say, I'd like to experience the Lord in my life. For that to happen, you're going to have to seek the Lord. And it's not something you can do casually. It's not something you can do quickly. It's not something you can do easily. It's something you have to do that's very difficult to do. The Bible, and we mentioned this morning, you must seek the Lord with all your heart and with all your strength, and then you'll find Him. It's not going to be something, well, Lord, I'm looking, give it to me now, thank you. You look at the Old Testament, especially in Psalms, and you find David saying, wait upon the Lord, wait upon the Lord, wait upon the Lord. Wait what? Wait for Him to come and reveal Himself. And it may take an hour, it may take a day, it may take a week, it may take a month. How long will it take? I don't know. But it's not something that modern Christians experience because they're not willing to seek it. If you really want a college degree, then you're going to have to go to school. It's just called seeking a diploma, seeking a degree, seeking a field of study. You just don't go down and get a diploma overnight. I know you can go down and print one and buy one, but I mean on the real authentic thing. You have to seek it. And the same thing is about this being in the presence of the Lord and knowing that God is real. You have to seek this experience. Otherwise, you don't get it. Now, I'm talking about if He does reveal it to you, He'll do something for you, which is a mulberry tree, or He'll do something in you. And this will not be of the supernatural area. This supernatural is always what He does for you. What He does in you is something else. In you, He has other purposes and other plans. You may say, I don't have any mulberry trees. I don't even know if I have any of what you're talking about, what He does in me experiences. If I look inside, I ask the question, has Jesus ever made Himself known to you or what He has done inside of you, to you, with you? Look, if you will, at 2 Corinthians 13:5. Let me show you something that we accept by faith and we don't question it. But I want you to look at it anyway. 2 Corinthians 13:5. I read these texts time and time again until I read a book the other day. I never realized this was in Scripture. And even when I read the text again, I didn't quite catch it. And then I saw it. Examine yourselves, He says, whether you be in the faith. In other words, are you a Christian? Ask the question. Don't ask somebody else if they're a Christian. Ask yourself if you're a Christian. And then come up with some proof of your own. Know you not your own selves? Do you not know that, now I want you to notice this, do you not know that Jesus Christ is in you? Now normally I would say, well, Jesus Christ is in heaven. But He says Jesus Christ is in me. And so I got a little confused when I was reading this book, and He gave all these scriptures which say Christ is in me. Look, if you will, at Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Now notice, yet not I live, but Christ lives in me. Now that's very clear. Christ lives in me. And then one more, Ephesians chapter 3. There are many others, but verse 17. He says, and this is sort of a desire of His, sort of a prayer, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Christ in me. How much closer can a person get to the living God than that? Christ is in me. I think there are times when we feel like Christ is way off away from us in heaven. And at times it seems to us that God is so far away and that we would love to have the Lord visit us. And we would like to have Him appear to us and let Himself be known. But in a real sense, Christ has gone nowhere. He is right inside of us. And of course, I think He is represented inside of us by the Holy Spirit, who is almost as much as saying the Holy Spirit represents Christ in every fashion. It is as though Christ Himself is in us. It's a very difficult principle to understand. But nonetheless, He's there. But what I'm saying to you is a statement made by faith. Well, you say He's there because the Bible says He's there. Look at Romans 8:16. Romans 8:16 is a verse that has brought about various kinds of interpretation and opens us up to all kinds of far-out experiences. If you'd like to do that with the verse, I don't want to do that with the verse. It says here, the Spirit, and I might say the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit bears witness with our spirit. And He goes on and says, He bears witness with us that we are the children of God. Now, that is not the only witness that He bears with us. But truly, that ought to be one witness that all of us would have, that there is within us the Holy Spirit who has convinced us that we're a part of the family of God. He seems to say that all of us have experienced this in some fashion or another. Now, I believe the Holy Spirit bears witness with us in many other ways and at many other times. And when I mention to you that the Lord will do something in you to reveal His nearness and His presence, I'm talking about the Holy Spirit will make a witness to you and you will realize you are dealing with God, you are in the presence of God, this God is very much alive, and He steps out of the pages of Scripture and He becomes real to you. I'm saying the Holy Spirit can give you that kind of witness if you want it. And you're going to have to seek the Lord to get it. What I'm saying is, God does not ask you to walk by faith 100% of the time. There are times when Christ says to us, be of good cheer, be of good cheer. And I think these times of cheer and joy, not a static rapture, but instead an inner delight which reveals to you, hey, this really is God. There really is a person like that. I just talked to Him. He just talked to me. And I mean, this God that I have been reading about is for real. Now, I think that knowledge in that moment would be a time of good cheer. And I think the Lord would like for all of us to have that. Now, His words, that is the words that we're talking here about, the witness of the Spirit, they come to us in the way of inspired thoughts. I'm not saying tonight that you will hear a voice, audible, verbal voice as you hear me tonight speaking. I don't think the Lord will probably ever reveal Himself to you in that way. I'm not saying He came. He did in the Old Testament. He did occasionally in the New Testament. I'm not saying that cannot be done, but I'm just saying normally that's not what's going to happen. You're not going to hear a voice speaking in your ear, though He can do it that way. What I'm saying is that God will inspire thoughts in your mind. And to you, these thoughts are obviously not from you. They come at a time you do not expect them. You're thinking about something else entirely when it happens. You do not have any idea that this is something that you ought to think about, that you ought to consider. It's totally a thought that you would not ever have had any other time, under any other circumstance. It's just not something that's going to normally happen. When these thoughts come, they come outside of you. I have known the reality of the devil this way. I mean, you can come down to this altar and be praying, and right in the middle of a prayer, be interrupted by the most vulgar, nasty thoughts you ever had in your mind. I know that evil spirits are real. How can this be? Your mind is no more on vulgarity or something sinful, and right in the middle of your holy moment, praying before God, here comes this thought. Now, it doesn't come from God. It doesn't even come from you. Where does it come from? It has to come from outside you. And so I am convinced that there are evil spirits. By having these kind of thoughts, just out of absolutely nowhere, making absolutely no sense whatsoever, in pumps the thought. And you have to fight with it, get rid of it, to get back to praying. Now, I'm talking about those kind of thoughts just zoom in, but this time the thought is not something of that nature, but is something that you recognize, man, this is from God. I mean, we're not talking about a football thought. We're talking about something that is of a spiritual nature, and you're not prepared for it. But when the thought comes, where does it come from? It doesn't come from you, and it sure doesn't come from the devil. Well, then it must come from God. Which proves what? That God is real. I mean, if I speak and you hear me, what's that prove? I can duck down behind the desk, but it proves I'm alive. It proves that I'm real. It proves that I'm here. Otherwise, you wouldn't hear my voice. You wouldn't hear my words. You wouldn't have my thoughts. I mean, that's pretty good proof. I get on a telephone. Do I have any proof you're alive? Well, yeah, if I hear you on the other end, I do. I have no idea what you're going to say to me on a telephone, but if you start speaking to me and asking me questions, and I have to give you answers, you exist. You exist. You've got a mind. You have a mouth. You're speaking. You exist. Is God real? Well, I got the Bible. He says He is. I can take you beyond that. I can get you engaged in conversation with Him. So I say to you that there are thoughts that come into your mind that can only come from God. But they don't come unless you seek Him. That's the strange thing about it. And you would not think of these thoughts, I want to repeat myself there, unless He would put them there. You will never originate these thoughts. What I'm saying is there are times when the Lord will engage you in a conversational thought. But you get a question, or you get an answer, or you'll get some kind of idea. And at such times, I say you experience the presence of the Lord, and you are truly in His presence. You can't see Him, but you know He's talking to you, and you, in a real sense, realize He has your undivided attention. You truly are listening to Him. He is in control of the conversation which He has initiated. And you begin to realize all this is taking place. It's quite an unusual experience. Now, again, I want to say to you, this will not happen if you don't want it. You have to seek for these kind of experiences. Not only that, but normally certain activities must precede any kind of witness that the Spirit will initiate with you. In other words, you must be doing certain things as a normal rule before the Spirit will witness to you. You just don't have this happen without the seeking, which again is repetition. In other words, normally you will have the possibility of experience from the Lord if you are in a time of self-examination. What did Paul say? Examine yourself. You being Christ. You really get serious about looking at your life. From the perspective of what the Scripture said ought to be and how far you've lived up, if you really become honest with yourself and examine your life, at times like this, you may have the Holy Spirit speak to you. Now, I don't know what He's going to say, but you don't either. But you'll know if He says something. You'll have your thoughts, and He'll have His. And there'll be a big difference. So, that's one setting in which the Holy Spirit witnesses to us when we are in self-examination, which is very seldom. Normally, we don't do this unless somebody makes us do it. They don't want us, or we don't want to be pinned to the carpet. We don't want to be embarrassed. And so, why embarrass yourself? Why ask questions? And so, we don't like self-examinations, but that's the moments in which the Spirit will reveal Himself to you. Secondly, there are times of deep devotion. That is, we are trying our best to do what we think will please the Lord in the area of devotion. It may be prayer, it may be singing, it may be worship, it just may be the deep devotion, trying to love the Lord in whatever way you feel like you can love the Lord. And in your time of deep devotion, the Lord may make a witness to you. How? I don't know. I have no idea. You cannot predict this thing. You don't know what's going to be said. You don't know what He's going to do. I'll tell you an illustration in a few minutes. Then there's a time of deep meditation. I guess I have had more experiences with the Lord because of this setting. Being a preacher, you're forced into a situation where you have to meditate. You have to take a scripture, and you have to think, 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 and you ask question after question after question, and then all of a sudden, at one time or another, and this doesn't happen often, but all of a sudden, what I call a nugget thought just bang. It's not in the book. I'd have never thought of that. I've never seen that in my whole life. All of a sudden, bang, there it is. And I said, man, that's a great thought. And you know it didn't come from you. You know it didn't come from the devil. It had to come from God. Which means what? God's alive. God's listening to me. God knows my questions. And He gives me a thought that really is the best thought of the whole sermon. It's the best thought I've had in 6 months. All of a sudden, bang. And it's a thought that's just fantastic. Now, I have gone through that, but I have had to go into it because I've got to prepare sermons. I am forced into a seeking position because of my job. You not. But so there are times of deep meditation, and He will open your understanding, and you will see something in Scripture you have never in your life seen. And He'll just open it up for you. Doesn't always do that. But there are times, and when it happens, you know, man, I did not get that from me. I did not learn that from anybody else. I got that from God. Now, that happens. Then there are times of true repentance, which are very rare. We're not too sincere in our repentance. But there are times when we really are disgusted with ourselves, disappointed in ourselves, and we cry out to God, oh, I wish I could change. I'm so tired of being defeated. And there is self-abasement. And in this humiliating confession, the Lord will speak to you and give you a thought that is a comfort and a cheer and a reassurance. I'm giving you the kinds of activities that can induce the Lord's presence being revealed to you. These activities are normally the only times he does it. So if you don't want to get involved in these activities, then you'll just have to walk by faith. And you'll never have these experiences that, to a real extent, become the joys and the memories of a Christian's lifetime. And I would like for you to have these. So there are times when the Lord will reveal his realness. He will reveal to you that he does exist in no uncertain terms, because he'll get you thinking in certain ways about certain things. Now, if he does not witness to you, you will never have these thoughts. You never will. They must originate from him. You do not have the ability, the mental capacity, the brilliance to ever think up these things. It just is not going to come to you unless he himself speaks these things into your mind. He must stir up the spiritual disposition that is required for us to have a spiritual experience. I thought about this, and I guess it's kind of one of the thoughts that I'm talking about. I never thought about this, but our spirits are responders. They're not originators. Our spirits only respond to God. He initiates, and we respond. It's always the Spirit responding to a law, the Spirit responding to a promise. The Spirit is always responding. My spirit does not originate anything. It can't write Scripture. It can't come up with new ideas. My spirit is not an originator. It's a responder. And so the Holy Spirit is the originator. In other words, I will not even be able to originate certain thoughts unless he first originates them in me. And so then I'm really not the originator. I'm just the repeater, the responder. And so when I begin to have spiritual thoughts, they're really being initiated by the Holy Spirit. Give you an illustration of what this I mean by devotion. I have a little hesitancy to tell this story. But anyway, last night I was on my way to Greens Point Mall. My wife was finishing up the craft show, and it was time to load up all the display equipment and the things that she sells. And as I pulled out going to Greens Point Mall, which is about a 45-minute trip with the trailer on the back of the wagon, I thought, that's how I listen to the radio, which is not real usual for me. I don't particularly listen to anything while I drive. It diverts my attention from driving. And anyway, I said, I'm going to listen to it. I don't know how the radio works in the wagon. I never have understood it. I know I turn it on, and for whatever station it's on, that's what I'm stuck with. You know, I don't know how to get off that station. It hasn't been preset with any buttons. It's just, I don't know how to turn the dial or anything or things. So whatever was going there, I was stuck with it. So, but it was music, Christian music. And so I said, well, hell, let's listen to that for a while. Probably be one good song out of 30 bad ones, but anyway, I'll listen to it. And then I say, well, that's a bad attitude. I'm going to listen to it no matter what the tune is or the beat or whatever it is. I'm going to listen to the words if I don't like the tune. And I'm just going to try to set my mind upon the Lord for 45 minutes. Now, that's hard for me to do driving because there's so many distractions. You can understand that. You've got to watch out for cars. You're just going to go in the daze driving a car down the freeway. But I started listening. The first thing I noticed was that I kind of liked the songs better than usual. And I said, well, that's a pretty good selection song right there. And I don't know who the guy is running the radio station, but he's got a pretty good taste. He's picking some pretty good songs. And then I began to wonder, what station is this? The guy never says anything. You're just one song after another, and there was no announcement of what radio station this was or, any other kind of announcement. I said, man, this guy must just put in about 50 tapes and went home to lunch or something, maybe. And finally it dawned on me, I wasn't listening to radio. I was listening to cassette tape players. And finally, when the song came around the second time, I said, this guy's done played this song once. And then it dawned on me that I was not listening to radio. I was listening to the cassette player. Anyway, I listened to these songs, and about 25 minutes down the freeway, I was just listening, and I was thinking about driving. And I was kind of enjoying the songs and listening to them and singing along with a lot of them, the songs that I knew. And all of a sudden, this thought, bang, hit me. And it didn't come from me. I'd have never raised this question. I was hit with the same question out of the blue that Peter was when he ran to meet Jesus after his denial of Christ. You know what he said to Peter? Peter, lovest thou me? Now, you know, Peter wouldn't ask that question. And so I heard this voice, didn't really hear in my thought, Billy, do you love me? Now, I don't like to be asked that question. That's an embarrassing question to ask me by the Lord. And I felt about as uncomfortable with that question, I think, as Peter was, when he, only thing is, I wasn't asking in public, and he was, and he had to give the answer. And so, the Lord had my undivided attention. I don't know what song was on at that moment, but from that time on, as I drove on down the freeway, man, I had to deal with that question. Now, the Lord revealed His presence. I knew He was in the car. I knew He lived inside of me. I knew He was real. But now He was too real. And you know, this guy's asking a very difficult question. Now, I knew if I say, well, I don't love you at all, that wouldn't be true. So I didn't have to say that. But then I knew if I said, I love you as much as I should, that'd be a lie too, so I couldn't say that. And I knew I couldn't tell a lie anyway. You know. And so Peter said, Lord, you know, I didn't even think to say that. I should have said, well, Lord, you know how much I love you. That's the end of that. But I didn't say that. And I made a real strange comment. Now, I'm not talking out loud, you know, nobody in the car but me. But all this is going on now. I am engaged in conversation with the Spirit. And usually I get delighted, but this time I was on the carpet. I was, in a sense, under judgment. And it's a good question, kind of question I'll ask you in the pulpit, you know. But you don't have to answer me sitting there. And so my answer was, God, I guess I love you about as much as anything or anyone else. Now, that's not the kind of answer I think the Lord wanted, but I've seen the sense the Lord said, you're being honest. You're being very honest. I would probably agree with you. You do love me about as much as anyone or anything else. I'm about neck and neck in the race. I'm not first. I'm not last. But I'm not where I want to be and not where I ought to be. I'm just running at a tie with everything and everybody else. I haven't lost and I haven't won. You just got me out there in the race, and I'm just even with everybody and everything. And I said, yeah, Lord, I guess that's true. You're not behind, you're not ahead, you're just about even. Now, I'm being very honest with you. This was all going on my way to Greensport Mall. I had no idea when I pulled out of the driveway that I was going to have an encounter with God. And I hate to tell it because of the answer I had to give, but I sense that I told him the truth. I didn't love him any more or any less than anybody else or anything else. But that wasn't good enough. That wasn't good enough. And that's about where the conversation ended. And that was the end of it. About that time, it was back to the music and back to Greens Point. But I haven't forgot that. You see, that took place last night, and I won't forget that for the rest of my life. Now, I'm telling you, God's real, and He is alive. And you can experience His presence in your life. I'm telling you, it's the truth. And you know when you have imagined it and made it into a little dream fantasy of your own and made it all up, and you know when something strange has happened in your life, that you have to say, man, God was there. And God initiated the whole thing. I should have suspicioned something was about to happen when I started listening to the radio for 45 minutes. I don't. My wife can verify, man, after about 3 or 4 songs I don't like, off it goes. Now, I should have suspicioned something when I said, I think I'm going to listen all the way through. Maybe it'll help me get close to the Lord. I should have suspicioned something was cooking because I normally don't say that. You see what I was doing unconsciously? I was beginning to seek the Lord, which I don't do. Driving down the freeway. I've tried before and I have too many distractions. I just can't look at all the cars and look at all the signs and see everything going on and I just can't concentrate. But all of a sudden last night, I showed a suspicion, I'm having too much success. This thing is going too right. Something's about to come. Oh, I didn't think, but the stage was being set and the Lord spoke to me, not audibly, people. But I would not have had that thought. That's the kind of thoughts that you will push away from you. That's the kind of thoughts in self-examination you don't even want to ask. How much do I love Jesus? That's an embarrassing question. You don't want to even ask you, wow, how much do you love me?
How you husband, you know, how much you love me. Those, that's a tough question, you know. In comparison to a lot of things, that's a tough question. And that was a tough question for Peter to have to face. And so I won't forget that. I won't forget my answer. Now, that was a strange experience. But I'm saying again in repetition to you, you can walk by faith all your life. Or you can have experiences in your life where the Holy Spirit will bear witness with you. And when it's all said and done, there will be times that you're filled with cheer and joy and gladness. And there'll be times when you're sober. When you're times when you've taken note of what the Lord said to you. Which means that's what's on His mind. He's concerned about that. And you can have these experiences, but these experiences prove to you that there is a God. It proves to you that God is very near, right inside that car. It proves to you that He's thinking thoughts. And then He shares those thoughts with you. He's alive. He's there. And He converses with you in a strange way. I know there's a God. I know He's real. Because of these kind of experiences, it's real. Seek the Lord, the Bible says, with all your heart. And experience His realness. Father, we're thankful tonight that we do not have to always walk all the time by faith. But there are times that we can also have an evidence of bearing of the witness of your Spirit with ours that you're real. And that there is a God, just like the Bible says. And that we can even have a conversation with Him in the thoughts of our mind. May this night all of us have a witness of the Spirit as we seek the Lord to find His realness to be true in our life. Maybe to get Him to do something for us. To give us a mulberry tree experience, or to have Him do something in us whereby He speaks to us thoughts that He has for us or about us. In Jesus' name we pray it. Amen.